This week we begin a new parsha, a new sefer, Bereshit. And the Meforshim, many of the Rishonim discuss as to why the Torah begins describing the creation of the world. Rashi addresses this problem. The Ramban, similar to Rashi, suggests that the reason why we begin with Bereshit, emphasizing the requirements of civilization. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted all of the world to know, as it would move through its history, that in order for civilizations to succeed, they had to be predicated upon morality, upon ethics and values, which presumably would be dictated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world. And therefore, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. Torah begins by telling us that whatever you're involved in, or whatever you pursue, in order for it to succeed, one must first recognize where all of it began. It all began from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the source of creation. But I believe that there is a more intrinsic message that we could inculcate into our lives personally, the beginning of creation as well. The Torah, in describing the first sin that Adam and Chava transgressed, in which they introduced chet, sin, into this world, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam and Chava very clearly the instructions of what they are and are not expected to do. From this tree of knowledge representing good and evil, lo tochel mimenu, you should not partake from this tree, ki biyom acholcha mimenu, because on the day in which you partake from this tree, mot tamut, that would be that you the day that which you would know the concept of death. And the Torah continues and tells us that unfortunately Adam and Chava sinned. Consequently, the punishment is laid out clearly in the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu vents his wrath at Adam and Chava, and he punishes the woman Chava, and he tells her, "Harba harbe itzvonech ve'heronech be'etzev tel di banim. I will greatly increase your suffering and your childbearing. In pain you shall bear children." And to Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Bezeh atapecha tochal lechem ad shuvcha el adama ki mimena lukachta. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground from which you were taken." And the question, I think, is rather obvious. It's very troubling. Here is Adam and Chava. They are brought into a world which they had never known, a world which certainly is conducive to exploration, and yet they are told that they are not, or limited to a certain extent, to their exploration. They're told they're not to venture into every portion of the garden. They're told they're not to eat from every tree. And yet the one tree that Adam and Chava want to take from is the Eitz Hadaat, the tree of knowledge. What is so terrible if they demonstrate a thirst for knowledge? Why the catastrophic results of what they suffer by the very fact, or the mere fact, that they acknowledge or demonstrate that they're interested in understanding, that they're interested in amassing more knowledge? We as parents, how many times have we experienced seeing our children laying around wasting time, and we say to them, "Why don't you do something constructive?" And what does the child classically say? "Like what?" And our response is always the same. "Why don't you take a book? Why don't you read a little bit? Enhance and accumulate your knowledge." So what exactly was Adam and Chava doing wrong? They wanted to know. They had a thirst for understanding. Where did they go wrong? Rav Shlomo Aviner, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Ateret Kohanim, the Rav HaRashi of Beit El, explains based on the Rambam and the Mora Nevuchim. The Rambam and the Mora Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed, also asked this question. And the Rambam explained that it really depends when it comes to a person's knowledge. One has to ascertain, where is that source of knowledge? Or even better than that, what is the motive to accumulate the knowledge to begin with? When one recognizes that the entire ability or capability to amass knowledge comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'b'atzmo, that type of knowledge is bound to be productive. It's bound to be constructive. As we say every day in the Shemone Esrei, Atachonein la'odom das. Who is responsible for allowing man to know? Atah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man the power by which to accumulate knowledge. Choneinu me'itcha chochma bina v'dat. It is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are able to receive this power to know and to comprehend. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, when man feels that he is responsible for knowledge, when man feels that he is the address for deciphering what to know, how to know it, and deciphering right and wrong as a result, that type of knowledge is destructive. That type of knowledge only leads to failure. Says Rav Aviner, Kishehadat ha'enoshit nimshechet midat elyon. When man's basic fundamental knowledge is a result or comes from the source above, Azhi lebracha, then indeed it is the type of knowledge which is blessed. Ulam, however, kishehadat mitnateket mishorsha, when knowledge is cut off from the source of its knowledge, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the reverence and divinity of Hashem above, hi makor shel klala, it is the source of being cursed. It is the source that is laying to failure. Adam HaRishon and Chava want to eat from the Eitz HaDaat. But the question is, what was their motives? They're interested in deciphering Tov V'ra, not necessarily in order to arrive at a greater understanding or comprehending HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not out of subservience or servitude to be able to be greater in debt to their Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was responsible for bringing them into this world. Their desire to eat from the Eitz HaDaat, their desire to know Tov V'ra, was an expression of humanism. Their ability to say, we're going to now eat from the Eitz HaDaat, because the job of deciphering Tov V'ra, good and evil, proper and improper, is my job, says Adam HaRishon, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. That was the incentive that they had when they took from this tree. So it is not necessarily a question of whether or not they were eating. It is a problem whereby the moment they demonstrated that they would not follow the instructions and directives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from that moment they already demonstrated their incentive. Their incentive was to be above, beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calling. They were interested in showing that they can decide, they can decipher, they can establish the foundations of civilization without the help of the Creator Kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, how many times did we see throughout history plenty of people who decided that it is up to them to play God? Hitler, Mussolini, Lenin, Stalin, all of the figures who have shaped history based on what they felt was right and wrong, based on the fact that they could lay an excuse which was lame. We are building civilizations. We are constructive people. If it has to be with a sacrifice, then so be it. They play God. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when it came to the creation of the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at mankind and says, you do yours and I'll do mine. We don't need to play God. But when we do, God has a problem. Me'eitz hadas lo tochal, tov v'ra. Deciphering good and bad is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's job. Our job in this world is to listen to him. It's interesting. A few years back, I was traveling from the old Ben-Gurion lounge, Ben-Gurion airport in Israel. I was traveling to the States. And there was a fellow sitting in the lounge, and a young woman approached him, and I was sitting a few seats away, so I overheard their conversation. Not a habit that I try to keep, but she approached this fellow. She must have worked for the Ministry of Tourism. And she said to him, she started asking him questions. She had a questionnaire, a survey, whether or not he enjoyed his time in Israel, how could it have been improved, and so on and so forth. And he only ranted and raved about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, how much he enjoyed his trip, and the people, and the warm and friendly atmosphere, and the great service that he received, and the insightful trip that he had. So at the end of the survey, she turned to him, and she said, just as a personal interest, what exactly do you do? So he said, I'm a rabbi of a particular affiliation in Judaism, which will go unmentioned. So she said she never heard of that particular affiliation in Judaism, or that sect of Judaism. So she asked, what is it? So he said, well, in this particular practice of Judaism, we embrace tradition. Tradition is very, very important to us. So she said, and quite rightly, she asked him, I don't understand. I mean, tradition's very important to orthodoxy as well, so what is the difference between you and orthodoxy? So he said as follows. He said, orthodoxy sees God as their general. We don't see God as our general. We see God as one of our equals. We're all soldiers in the same army, and God is one of the soldiers with us. So I saw that the young lady was taken aback. She was quite shocked that someone could suggest such a thesis. So she said, I don't understand. Not to see God as a general? He said, sure. If God was really our general, how could he have allowed something like the Holocaust to have taken place? And she left it alone. So when he walked away, I approached the young lady and I said to her, tell me, I said, what do you think about what this fellow had to say? So she said to me, I totally disagree with him. I said, why is that? She said, I believe just the opposite. The Holocaust demonstrates that God is our general. God is above us. God controls our destiny. God decides whether we're right or wrong. He decides how the world should be judged. And while God forbid, Rabbi Yisai, I would never venture to understand how something like the Holocaust could happen, I certainly would impose a theory of saying that I am completely convinced as to why it happened. One thing that I am convinced of as an Orthodox Jew is that God is our general. There's a reason for everything in this world that transpires. There's a purpose to everything that takes place in this world. And it is not without the stamp of a Kadosh Baruch Hu behind it. To think otherwise demonstrates insecurity and haughtiness, and certainly does not promote a constructive civilization. And therefore I believe that it is quite appropriate that the Torah begins with the Parsha of Bereshit, the Parsha which demands from us, U'me'eitz hadas lo tochal mitov v'ra. The parsha that reminds us that our intellect is limited, that not everything is within our parameters to understand. We are expected to investigate, to interpret, to scrutinize, but ultimately we have to recognize in all of our humility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who decides destiny of the world and what is right and what is wrong is based on our Torah given by Hashem. Mirtz Hashem, if we follow the guidelines of which the world was predicated upon, the guidelines of Emunah and Hashem, the guidelines of Emunah in Tov V'ra, based on what is given to us as foundations for establishing a future, And Amir Tzashem will be zocha and privileged to construct a world filled with purpose, a world filled with reason, and Amir Tzashem understand what it means to subscribe wholeheartedly to Hashem's plan.
One of the questions that we should discuss around the Shabbat table, this Shabbat Bereshit, why does the Torah start and begin with the creation of the world? Why not begin the Torah with the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people of Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new month? This is a question that Rashi addresses, a question which is important to discuss around our Shabbat table in understanding the purpose of creation and the purpose of the Torah itself. Shabbat Shalom.